Hey friends, welcome to another episode of the Lucky Few podcast, where we are shifting the narrative by shouting the worth of people with Down syndrome. This is Mercedes,
Micah,
and Heather.
And today we are joined by Chris Nikic, the first person with Down syndrome to ever complete an Ironman, as well as his coach, Dan Grieb. We are so excited to hear from them, and thank you all for joining us. Welcome to the Lucky Few podcast.
Friends, this month's sponsor is the one and only our favorite Jonas Paul Eyewear. Jonas Paul is on a mission to help kids feel beautiful and confident in their glasses, which is exactly how Macy feels every single day wearing her Jonas Paul glasses. And this month in March, it is actually Jonas's birthday, the little guy who inspired the brand. And to celebrate his birthday, Jonas Paul is taking this month to feature communities of kids who have disabilities. Now is the time to go order your glasses. Head to jonaspauleyewear.com/theluckyfew, and you, dear listeners, can have a discount code and save 15% off your order.
Hi, friends. Iron Man.
Iron Man.
I have never even ran a 5K. I should put that on my list.
I tried to run a 5K in college, and I walked the last bit.
You guys, I've done a half.
Still in it.
I've done a half marathon. So in terms of between the three of us, I'm basically like the Iron Man.
You are the Iron Man. Not only are you the Beyonce of but you are the Iron Man.
I'm working on being the Queen Bey. We'll see how my New Year's resolution goes. I haven't started.
Okay.
But I have run a half marathon, and it was a lot of work. And I remember when Chris was training last year, following along and thinking, this is amazing. And then after his Ironman, just, you know, like all of the publicity that he got is incredible. He's like so a star. Cool. I'm nervous. He's in the waiting room on our Zoom here, and I'm kind of like have butterflies.
Yay.
As you should. As you should.
He's such an athlete. Amazing. I'm excited about this interview and to chat more.
We should probably tell our listeners, in case they don't really know what an Ironman triathlon consists of, we should probably let them know what those details are, right?
Yeah, it's definitely more than a half marathon.
It is. It's more. Okay, so this is like through the World Triathlon Corporation, and it consists of a 2.4-mile swim, a 112-mile bicycle ride, and a marathon, which is 26.22 miles. And they are raced in that order. You swim, then you ride the bike, and then you run.
Oh my gosh.
I don't even like being in the car for 112 miles.
What in the world?
I really hate it, actually. Well, that's amazing. Go.
So amazing.
Yes.
Well, I'm very excited for us to talk to Chris. And before we do, I just want to jump over to read a review really quick from one of our listeners. We love reading your sweet reviews, everybody. And this is so fun, you guys, because today's review is from Little Smiles 321, who lives in my town. And we've been connecting online, but I literally just met her in the chiropractor's office this morning.
Oh, in real life.
This is the best story.
Isn't that great?
Yes.
My chiropractor was like, I have another patient who has a kid with Down syndrome. I've been wanting to introduce you, and she's here. And we opened the door, and
amazing.
She was like, Micah, it's me, Rachel. So there you go. That's my story. So great. And here's what she has to say. Thank you all for sharing your experience and perspective on Down syndrome. I love that you are all sharing your unique experience raising your children with Down syndrome. And I love following you all on Instagram. Keep this up, please. More stories need to be shared. It's all such valuable information. So thank you to Little Smiles 321. I'm glad you're my new friend.
You guys, Rachel went to Lucky Mama's retreat. She's also my friend.
She did. This is
I know her. Okay.
This is wonderful. Okay.
All right, friends. We are so excited to introduce you to Chris Nikic, the first person with Down syndrome to ever finish an Ironman race. We are also joined by his coach who ran the whole race with him, Dan Grieb. Thank you both for being here. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Chris. Oh. Hi, Dan.
How's it going?
Good.
Good. We are so excited to talk to you guys.
Well, it's a pleasure. We're honored to do it.
Hi, Chris and Dan. I was saying before we let you guys in, I was talking to the girls saying I feel a little bit of butterflies in my stomach because I'm talking basically to a celebrity named Chris Nikic. So
we totally recognize you.
Do you think I'm cute? Stop it.
Yes. Chris, I mean, we are all married women though. So it's like, yes, you're very cute, but we can't really say that out loud.
Yes. All right, whatever.
Oh, man. So we are self-proclaimed not experts, but we are moms who are who want to talk about the things that happen in our lives. So that is the Lucky Few podcast. And the Lucky Few phrase is there are a few of us who have a loved one with Down syndrome, and those of us who do are very lucky.
You know, I'd like to talk about how that's real. I do not have a child with Down syndrome. A year ago, I didn't even know anyone with Down syndrome. Didn't know someone that knew someone that had a child with Down syndrome or anything like that. A year later, do you see the amount of joy that is in my life right now? I've lived a very difficult life. You know, I was abused by my father. I was told my whole life I wouldn't amount to much. I've been very successful in business and life, but I've, you know, that edge has always been with me, that I need to prove myself, I need to be better, has needed to be with me. And the antidote to that is Chris. It's this relationship where he's in the moment. He's all about being with me. It's not about what I can do for him or what kind of car I drive. It's just the relationship. And for folks with Down syndrome, you know, my vernacular may not be perfect, so I got to watch what I say when I talk to Special Olympics crowds and stuff. But like when I'm with him, I'm whole. And that's what folks with Down syndrome do, is they actually enter into communities and they change them slowly by just their superpower. And see, their disability is also a superpower because we see the world so differently than they see the world. And we think that what we do is normal. Judging people is normal. You know, women dressing so other women accept them is normal. But Chris and people like Chris, they don't make you feel like that's important. What's important is how you show up. You know, if you notice, I don't know if this is that case with you. I mean, guys, I don't know 10 people with Down syndrome. Now I know 4, Chris and his 3 best friends, right? So I can only speak of my relationship with him. Is Chris has already hugged me 3 times since we've been with you ladies.
Yeah.
Meaningful, connective hugs. Well, like, wouldn't the world be better if we just did that every time we were happy, every time we were sad, or every time we felt like we needed, there was conflict, we started with that. See, for him, that's his superpower. That's the God-giving grace that other cultures call divinity in him. Mm-hmm. Here in ours, we call that, you know, a disability, a liability, a troubling thing. But the reality is that's exactly what we need. It's actually a superpower. It's just not enough of the world has had enough time to experience it to recognize for what it is. And I've been blessed in a year, 46 years old, to have that.
Yes and amen. I think we can wrap up the podcast. That was perfect. No, but Dan, one of our big things we talk about on the Lucky Few podcast is shifting the Down syndrome narrative, which is a narrative like what you just kind of explained a little bit in your own experience of you don't know someone with Down syndrome, but there's thoughts that feel negative about a disability or a liability. And then you have an opportunity to be in relationship with a person with Down syndrome. It changes your life forever and for the better. And we've found that as parents in this community. And so it's one of our biggest things that we talk about is shifting that narrative. So, I mean, that's incredible what you shared. Okay. So Dan, how did you meet Chris then?
Well, he's felt like I've done a lot of talking, so I'm going to let
him start. Okay.
So tell them how you met me.
I got way too fast by the name of Simone.
So you got way too fast for Coach Simone?
Then I wanted to do a longer indoor pick distance by the name of Dan. And that's why we were connected. Then he has a wife who's my aunt. I talk to him almost every night. And they have two boys. I go to ECF with Dan's Taurus son, and he's attending ECF.
Good. So you guys probably caught most of that. And you know, here's a joke I say: it's like I've learned to speak Down syndrome in the last year, and I've learned to speak Nickage. So the Nickages have their own language. And, you know, obviously with Down syndrome, they speak with a thicker tongue. So it's difficult to understand sometimes. And, you know, each person seems to have their own little dialect. And his family taught me that, by the way. So if that's an offensive term, I apologize. hey, stop it. So what he said was that he was training with a coach that the Special Olympics kind of assigned to him to do the Special Olympics type of stuff. And her name was Simone. And he actually got too fast for Simone on the bicycle. And Simone, being an amazing human being, actually recommended that they find a coach that can go faster with him. Now, for me, it was our journeys were crossing because I believe that God intended that they do. I had lost 100 pounds and was on my own Ironman journey to complete 10 Ironman in 2 years. And I had done that. I actually ended up completing 12 in 2 years, over 100 races to build up for that. And lost all the weight, and I wanted to express my gratitude to God, and I felt, what's the best way I can show God that I'm grateful that He allowed me to restore my health in my 40s, and it was serve His people. Now, back at the time, I thought, well, what's the best way I could do that? And it was like, use my body to help someone else become an Ironman, because the Ironman journey is not about what you do. It's not about the event. It's who you become in the process. Success is about who you become in the process. So to be an Ironman, you got to become very disciplined in your diet. You got to be disciplined in your sleep and your exercise and how you manage your time. And it changes who you are as a person. It gives you mental habits that you get to keep with you for a lifetime. And I wanted Chris to have those habits with me, or another person to have that. Now, I was looking for someone who was blind, because that's usually who you lead. But, and God answered my prayer, as God does. And He answered it bigger, wider, and deeper than I ever thought possible, and brought Chris into my life. And at the same time, Chris was looking to do advance from a sprint triathlon, which is a short 10-mile triathlon, to an Olympic, which is a 30-mile. Well, his current coach couldn't help him do that. So he came to see me, and that's where the relationship began.
Like Dan said, I know it's like, be a child. I know what it's like to have a father that's abusive to Dan. So, like he said, he lost 100 pounds, and he wants to do some crazy Ironman. So he completed 10 Ironmans, and then he did marathons, and then he decided to lead the first person who is blind to do an Ironman. And when I first met Dan, I know that Dan is a family man. He met my aunt at church.
You know a
and
lot about me.
Before church, and they got married. They have two boys. One, a 60-year-old, is training for a triathlon. Mm-hmm. And then the other son, Riley, is attending UCF. And he's a sword brief timeline. So,
that's Mission Thursday. Hey, stop there and let them ask questions, because that might be another question. That was a great answer. And are you feeling emotional right now?
Yeah.
All right, why don't you give me a hug?
And Uncle Dan is fine, okay? God's been very good to me, okay? So don't worry about Uncle Dan being abused by his dad and all that stuff. That's part of an old story for me. That's not real, okay? You don't have to worry about that anymore, okay, buddy? You can tell that kind of got to him hearing that for some reason. So we got to get him. You all right, buddy?
Yeah.
Are you ready to get back to talking to the ladies?
Yeah.
You stop it.
You stop it.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh, you both stop it. Now I'm crying.
this is the part of Down syndrome that reminds us, like, to be more human. Mm-hmm. That moment would have passed if it had been anyone else. But there was an opportunity for us to connect, and I could hear it picking up on him. So I knew it was time for us to, like, recenter. And that, for him, a hug is an opportunity to recenter. Mm-hmm. You know, he just needs to know that everything's going to be all right. You know, his dad's a great example of that. And, you know, I love your podcast. And you know what? I would love to see a father on this podcast. Because wherever I go, the majority of the time when I see Down syndrome young men and women, I typically see mothers. Mm-hmm. I don't see dads as often. But just like any other young man or young woman, the father's role doesn't change just because a person also has Down syndrome. I searched for a long time for someone to teach me how to be a man. And unfortunately, the streets doesn't teach you how to be an honest man, doesn't teach you how to be a man of character. That can only be taught by honest men of character. You know, the streets can never teach you that. So hopefully the men that are listening to this, you know, will recognize that it's key important. And these young men and women with Down syndrome, you know, their limits are getting removed daily. I met a young man that has Down syndrome that was driving a car last week. I got a young man who just completed an Ironman. Like, there's young men and women with Down syndrome getting married now. Like, all of the lessons that the rest of the world needs to learn, we might have to teach them a little bit differently, but those lessons still need to be taught. And to think that we're going to be able to minimize those uncomfortable conversations because we have a child with a disability is probably futile thinking.
I love it. I kind of felt for a little bit like you were interviewing us. So let me get back to my questions. Well, I want to know a little bit about Chris and his family and how you got started on your Ironman journey.
Sure. My name is Chris Nickens. I'm the son of my parents.
What's your dad's name?
I speak like of a Down syndrome.
The Down syndrome.
And if y'all don't know what Down syndrome is, it's some kind of disorder, and doctors are giving out options, and my parents disregard the options because it's really bad and bad habit, and my dad wanted me to open an award for all Down syndrome kids so they can be part of the community and be part of the life, and they basically repaired two holes in my heart at 5 months, and I had like 4 major scary ear surgeries. It really stinks. But I fought through, and I had poor balance. I couldn't ride a bike, and then I could barely run, I could barely swim. And my capsule is like a bamboo tree. If I train through 4 hours, on weekdays, then it could be like a bamboo tree. Then through the weekends, I train 6 to 8 hours for a bamboo tree. And my dad used it as a vehicle, as me as a bamboo tree trunk, like a farmer planting seeds, having a farm like a bamboo tree. My captain of a bar graph, if I learn how to curve going this way, then the kids are down here. If I did a sprint, I was dead last. I came in, and then I got a medal, and I was keeping my mindset that how gratified that I achieved my hard work. So from this sprint, I did an Olympic because so like from a sprint, I went up to an Olympic. The kids were down here. From an Olympic, the kids were down there as a half Ironman because the kids down here are complaining. From a half Ironman, they stayed down there. I did a full Ironman. And this is why it's a non-bar graph.
Right.
That says Chris's average speed.
But that was a good job. I'm going to clarify a little bit of that so they understand. Is that okay?
Yeah, perfect.
So the way in which his dad describes Chris is he's like the bamboo tree. A bamboo tree requires a lot of watering and pruning literally for years before it actually sprouts. But once it does sprout, it actually grows up to 20 feet in its first 1 or 2 months of actually sprouting the soil. So you have to prune and care and water for this tree for literally years and you don't see anything. But what's happening is the roots are growing so deep that when it does break the soil, it can grow so fast that it can support itself. Well, that's the way that Nick, Chris's dad, has taught him the 1%. They built really strong roots underneath so that Chris could sprout and grow really fast when the time was right. And the difference between Chris and 1% better and normal athletes is while his foundation is being built so slowly, he doesn't see the immediate gains that other people see when they start training for things. So for Chris, when he first started racing, he was actually dead last in a Special Olympics event by, you know, a large margin. The next time he started getting faster. Well, he started getting faster and faster. And over time, the other athletes kind of peaked out, but he kept building and building and building. And while he still may not be the fastest on a sprint, he has the ability to kind of just grow. And now he was able to do a complete Ironman because he learned the mental mindset underneath getting 1% better. Wow. That's the story he just shared, right, buddy?
Yeah.
That was a great job. That was a great job. I've never heard you share that story before. Uh-huh. You know that? Are you like got some hidden tricks?
Yeah.
You got a few up your sleeve you're not sharing with me? What are you doing?
Because yeah. I like that. When I tell a story like that.
Yeah.
Micah is thrilled.
Micah's thrilled?
I am thrilled. See? I'm totally thrilled. And I love this bamboo story so much.
I'm just in tears over the bamboo story.
I am too. And I feel like that is so inspiring for me, Chris, as the mom of a kid who's 5 who has Down syndrome, because I feel that what your dad described as all of that work that's going into building the foundation and just the hope of like, yes, he is going to sprout and grow and it's going to be amazing. And I just thank you for telling that story, Chris. It's so amazing and so encouraging to us. I would love to know, Chris, how long ago was it that you and Dan met, and how long did it take you once you started training with him before you were able to do the triathlon?
So how long ago did we meet? That's her first question.
Okay.
October of last year.
That was back in October of 2019. I love doing triathlons.
And why do you love doing triathlons?
Because, okay, so I love doing triathlons. It's not about training. It's about killing the triathlons, no matter what. And when I killed those triathlons, I knew that one day I could do Ironman. And then I became an Ironman, from a half Ironman to a full Ironman.
Well, how long did it take you to go from an Olympic triathlon to a half Ironman, which is 70.3 miles? How long did it take you to train for that? Do you remember? Six months to the half.
6 months.
And then how long did it take you to go from a half Ironman, 70.3 miles, to a full Ironman?
6 months.
So it took him about a year once he got very serious on his training. Now, he was training for a total of 3 years, but he trained with me about a year to get there. Right, buddy?
Yeah.
Now, wow. I don't think they know what a full Ironman is. Can you tell them what a full Ironman is? How long is the swim?
So the swim is a 2.4 mile swim.
And then what's the bike?
And the bike is basically 112.
12 what?
12 miles.
All right. And then what's the run? You finish it off with what?
And after you finish it off with 26.2 marathon.
Marathon? A whole marathon?
Yeah.
You did that? How many miles total is it?
70.
No, the whole race.
140.
140 what?
Point six.
Yeah, don't let go of that 0.6. That's a whole 0.6. It's almost
another 0.6 is a lot.
I mean, that's all I could do. I feel like that's 0.6 is where I'm at.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Chris, when you finished, how many days did your body feel like jello?
After the Ironman was over and you gave your dad a hug, what did you say to him?
So when I crossed the line, I did not feel like jello.
Did not feel like jello?
I feel like pain.
You felt some pain?
Mm-hmm. I felt the bike rails at my 50. And then, you know, what really stinks is the fire ants.
You got fire ant bites on the race?
I got fire ants.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
It was so painful.
Why don't we start by explaining to them what happened on the bike, what happened. So you have to stop, because if he has balance issues, he has to stop his bike, and we have to stop every 30 minutes to give him hydration and nutrition. Well, yeah. I had stopped his bike, and we got off to the side of the road, and what happened?
I mistakenly stepped onto the ant pile.
You mistakenly stepped on an ant pile?
Yeah.
And what happened? Oh, man.
No.
They basically, they basically bruised up to my ankle, all the way up to my foot, and into my groin.
So it went all the way up his leg, all the way up into his shoulder.
That's wild.
No.
And he didn't realize that he was standing in an ant pile. And
yeah.
I didn't either until they started biting me. And then I realized they were all over him. So that was our first challenge. And then what happened?
Looks just quiet.
I know. I'm about to. It sounds awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. But then what happened after that?
And then my 50.
At 50, we met with your dad.
Yeah.
And he looked at the ant bites and said, we're okay. And we kept going. So that 30 miles we had to ride till we met dad. And then, and a lot of other, obviously I was losing my mind because we prepared for everything. We did not prepare for ants biting us.
Fire ants.
Yeah, fire ants on a triathlon course. And then a mile 50, he got a chance to see his dad. You gave your dad a big hug. And then after you gave your dad a big hug and he said, you're okay. You got all excited. And what'd you do?
Well,
tell them, what'd you do? You got back on your bike and you got all excited. And what'd you do? You started riding what? Really what?
Fast.
Tell them, not me.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, really fast.
So you started riding really fast. You remember how fast you were going?
12 and 12.
21 miles an hour, and then what did Uncle Dan do?
I tried to run over. So I mistakenly, like, I was going to skid my bike towards him, and then he got away. And then my whole freaking neck was bleeding.
All right, so what happened was he was going too fast, and he was on a road that was bumpy, and he was going downhill, and I rode up to him and said, slow down, and he didn't hear me, and I was doing 23, so he was doing 21. I said, slow down again, he didn't hear me, he didn't have his hearing aids in, and I yelled out loud, slow down again, and he hit his back brake. Right as he hit a bump, it put him into a skid, and he started to skid towards me. I was able to get away from him. So then he started to skid towards me. He was out of control. I was able to get away from him, and then he crashed his bicycle, ended up injuring his knee, getting a lot of road rash. And for me, this happened right in front of his dad, and I'm thinking, this cannot be the way this race ends. The story cannot end like this, because I could hear him crashing behind me. I got away from him, so I'm naturally further down the hill. So I can hear his bike going down. I can hear it sliding on the road. I can hear him hit the ground behind me, but I can't see him.
Yeah.
And I mean, and just in those few seconds, my life is flashing in front of me. And I'm thinking, like, God, please don't tell me this is how this story ends. Like, this person with Down syndrome gets injured on a triathlon course. Like, that can't be how this story ends. And I mean, I automatically, like, started tearing up. In seconds, I'm tearing up. I'm thinking worst case scenario. I ended up skidding my bike. I was able to control it, get it down. And when I get off my bike, because I have to unclip from my pedals and turn around. And I just like had my head down, started running back up this mountain towards him, up this hill towards him. And he's already back on his feet, jumping up and down, saying, Dan, I crashed my bike. But he was all excited. I'm like, oh my God. You are killing me right now.
You're killing
me. I can't take this kind of stress, Chris. This is not, I'm just supposed to leave you for an Ironman. Like, you can't be doing this to me. You know.
Oh, my gosh.
And here's the crazy thing about it, guys, is, you know, leading up to the event, Chris does not – he knew what he was doing. He knew that he was inspiring other people like him. He knew that. He didn't know the depth of it. And he's very smart, but he doesn't get to his head. For me, I could feel the weight of the Down syndrome world. The moment we stepped in that water, they collectively took a deep breath and started praying. Let this be the story that we can tell for the rest of humanity about people with Down syndrome. So when the doctors and the counselors come up to us and say, you know, you want to look at your options, maybe having this child's not the right option for you. They can say, but what about that boy that had Down syndrome that completed an Ironman? Like, how can you tell me to look at options in utero when there's a one that completed an Ironman? Or they say, well, your child's not going to amount to much. Like, when you say amount to much, you mean like that one boy who was the 1% of our whole population that completed an Ironman, which most able-bodied human beings can't do, but he did? Like, how can you say my child won't amount to much? The world of Down syndrome was waiting for a release. And he was the person that was going to, what do you say? Crash the doors open?
Yeah.
Tell him, what do you say?
Tear the doors open.
Tear the doors open and kick down all the what?
Barriers.
Kick down all the barriers and what else? Knock down all the
doors.
All the doors, all the walls. So that for the rest of humanity, all across the world, people can say, my child will amount to something. My child can be part of the community. My child will amount to something. God does have a plan for them. We do not have to warehouse these children and feel like they're not going to amount to much. And he's done that.
Thank you guys so, so much.
So I know that you like to talk to two different people. So let's do it this way. Why don't you give inspirational words just to the kids, just the people like you, like this, okay? And then give just inspirational words to the parents. Can you do that?
Yeah.
All right.
So
for the kids,
for your kid, it's really important to get motivated.
Get motivated. Got
it's important for him to get 1% better every day.
What does that mean?
So I did. So that's what I did.
No,
I did 1 push-up, 1 sit-up, and 1 squat. And then I added 1 more. And I did 200 by Iron Fodder. And then from Iron Fodder, I'm doing 500 of each.
Okay.
By Kona, Hawaii.
By Kona, Hawaii in October, you do 500. But here's what I want you to tell them. How do we get 1%? What do we got to do? We have to commit to getting what? Getting 1% better every day.
Yeah.
Do everything. Tell them. Do everything with a what?
So commit the 1% is I want your child to not make any excuses.
No excuses.
Because we don't tolerate no excuses.
No tolerance.
That is your hashtag to me.
Okay, keep going.
And then number two, have your child work hard. Mm-hmm. If he works hard, he's going to eat more.
What's the last?
The last most important is do everything with a smile. Mm-hmm. If you're tired, can do those 3 things. If you saw him in the workout, he can do it. So my inspiration for the parents is my dad wanted me to be able to live a healthy place.
Healthy life.
In our community and be part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And he also wanted me to have a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you want to tell all the parents to make sure their children have dreams?
And I want our parents to know that your kids needs to realize that they need to have dreams.
Mm.
They need to be able to have their living independence.
The ability to live independently.
And this one's gonna be for Micah and her son. I'm gonna say this to Micah.
Okay.
Micah, I know your mom, and I know you have a dad's child, and I know it's like to every child who doesn't want those options because you are protecting your child. And instead of protecting your child, Micah, you have to realize that your child, it's a God's given potential.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of protecting him,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that I want you to have your son gifted. And be gifted means he needs to live a life of inclusion. And I really want you as your mom to say like this
to me,
face to face.
This is it, finish it.
Create anything that's possible.
Your son can do anything that's possible.
Do anything that's possible, he can do it.
Chris likes people with what kind of hair?
Blonde
hair, Micah. So that's why he was always today. So next time you interview with Chris, everybody wear a blonde wig.
That's so funny. I love it.
Thank you, Chris.
Mom has blonde hair, and he thinks that blonde hair is what mom gives him, and he loves to rub her hair, and he feels comfort from that. He thinks that his dream is to own his own car, own his own house and marry a smoking hot blonde just like there his mom. So he can have unconditional love like his mother gives him, right?
Yeah. We all right, have our types, guys, Chris.
Hey, oh, yeah. Feel free to reach out to us. Please follow our journey on chrisnickage.com as well as through him on Instagram. You can follow me on Instagram as well and kind of seeing how our lives parallel. We would be happy to come back and do this again and share with you. Yes, you want to do it again?
Yeah.
Get out of here. Stop it.
Oh my gosh. Right. We would
love to have you back.
Okay. We'll come back and do it again. We love what you guys stand for. It's an important cause, and this is the type of stuff that we want to be involved with. Him obviously being an example of what's possible with Down syndrome, and me being someone who a year ago knew nothing, and really my life is not affected by Down syndrome, but being an advocate for those other families like yours that the rest of the community should embrace, because there's so much value they're missing out on. I missed out on 45 years of my life. The rest of my life is my ticket's punched forever because I've graduated from being Coach Dan to Uncle Dan. So this guy is going to be in my life the rest of my life. And the best part about it for parents that get excited about these relationships is that, you know, there's a concern in the Down syndrome world right now that, you know, usually people with Down syndrome pass away before their parents. Mm. And that's no longer happening. So there's a lot of parents that are starting to worry, what's going to happen if I to pass away with my child? That is not a question for the Nickage family anymore, because he's got my family, he's got a community around him that will support him, you know, and we're answering a lot of questions in advance because technology is going to pick up. These folks with Down syndrome are going to get in better shape. They are going to live longer lives, and they're going to outlive their parents routinely. And when that happens, it's going to require a community to come and get involved. And that's where the parents have to make a decision that they'll be vulnerable enough to share their angels with the world, not because they're concerned that they could be a burden, but because they can light the world. So that's my final thought. God bless you guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Chris.
That's wonderful. Thanks, you guys.
Appreciate you guys so much. Good to
meet
you.
Blessings.
Thank you.
This has been such a fun conversation. Dan, Chris, you two are amazing and exude so much love in your friendship. And now it's time for our favorite part of the episode, good news. This is where we celebrate the accomplishments of our friends and loved ones with Down syndrome. All right, ladies, we'll be back with good news.
All right, friends. My Mason Hope is wearing her Jonas Paul eyewear glasses today, like she does every single day. And this month, in March, it is actually Jonas's birthday, the little guy who inspired the brand. And to celebrate his birthday, Jonas Paul is taking this month to feature communities of kids who have disabilities. Kids and families in the disability community love Jonas Paul glasses because they are easily adjustable and they are designed with smaller nose bridges in mind. With prescription glasses starting at just $79, you can't go wrong. Visit jonaspauleyewear.com/theluckyfew for a discount code to save 15% off your next order.
Okay, we're back.
Bring us in, Truly Star.
Ready? Okay. Time for good news, time for good news. Everybody, welcome to the good news. Yeah, yeah.
All right, ladies, who's got some good news?
I do. You guys want to know what Ace learned this week at school?
Yes.
Something very vital to life in the cold and frozen Northeast. And that is Ace learned to put his coat on by himself.
That is a skill.
It is an amazing skill. And have you guys ever seen the upside down flip?
So I watched on Instagram. You guys need to go to Micah's Instagram, Ace Face, because it was very impressive. But try to explain it to our listeners.
Okay. So this is like his aide taught him this. And I think, and somebody else on Instagram was like, oh yeah, the upside down flip. So it's a thing. But they have the coat in front of him on a chair and it's backwards so that the top of the coat is, so it's open, but the head is towards Ace's belly. And then he puts his hands into the arms and flips it over his head in like one move and both arms go through at the same time. And they taught him in one day. They were like, do this. And he's doing it like this morning, I got his shoes on for school. And I was like, here you go, put your hands in, flip it on. And he was just like, whoop, flip, and over his head. So cool.
That is good news. Good job, Ace. Get it.
Good job, Ace.
Get it, buddy. I've got some good news from a listener. So this is from Abigail Bradshaw 88 says, my friend with Down syndrome is learning how to sing and is high key crushing it. I love it. Woo-hoo. I love it. We love good news shared about if your connection to Down syndrome is a friend or a coworker or a student. We love to hear from you too. So thank you, Abigail Bradshaw 88, for sharing your good news. How about you, Merce?
Oh my goodness. My sunflower May. She's a sporty girl. I am not that sporty. I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say that anymore. I prefer to dance than play a ball sport.
There you go.
And you guys, she's really sporty. And like, she's got an arm in her. And when she comes up to me, she's like, mom, play with me. And she always has a ball in hand. So we've been doing a lot of tossing the ball and a lot of soccer. And she's really initiating that with her brothers. And I feel like if Rhodes ends up being a baseball player one day, he can thank his sister.
I love it.
She is so good. I don't know. I just kind of love that kind of stuff. Especially her being the oldest. Like, I just love the relationship they're building, and they're really into playing ball, like playing, what is it? Tossing a ball together and soccer and stuff. And it's been really cute.
That's awesome.
if you listeners out there don't follow Mercedes on Instagram, you should really check out, like, every time Sunflower and Rhodes are doing something together, my heart just melts.
Too much.
It's so sweet.
I've been trying to intentionally, like, usually I just like watch them and soak it in. And then the next moment, you know, they're like fighting or whatever. So then I really am trying to like video. You, my angels, they're really cute and fun. Well, okay. Thank you for joining us, friends. Thank you, Micah and Heather. This was so much fun.
This was fun.
This was so much fun. As always, friends, we want to hear from you. Leave us a voicemail or DM on Instagram and share about your family and your good news about your loved ones with Down syndrome. And if you have a product or business that wants to help us shout the word to people with Down syndrome, then we'd love to partner with you. You can email us at hello@theluckyfewpodcast.com for sponsorship opportunities. A huge thank you to our editor, Josh Avis, our producer, Val Schleter, our sponsor, and all of you who have shared the Lucky Few podcast with friends and who have listened faithfully and cheered us on. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember that you, dear listeners, supporting your loved one with Down syndrome, you are a shouter of worth and a narrative shifter. So keep on keeping on. We are cheering for you. Bye.
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 Okay, bye. Bye. That was funny.
I forgot.